that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Are you still there? To delete your message, press 7. To save it in the archives, press 9. To hear more options, press 0.
What are you talking about?
What it do, baby?
It's muy frio outside.
Battle for LA podcast. Battle for LA podcast. Part of the Clutch Points Network is back. That's Ryan Ward, who says it's muy frio.
Muy frio.
Muy frio. I'm Tomer Azarli, your Clippers reporter. That's our Lakers reporter right there. Mm-hmm. We are fresh off Thanksgiving break. We hope everybody had a great break. That was a nice couple of days off, but both teams were on the road for a bit.
It wasn't really that much off for me and you.
That's true. Yeah,
Friday, Sunday games.
I did enjoy Thanksgiving though. Thanksgiving was a nice
for me too.
Calm day, good games.
Nice little Thursday.
So both teams had a pretty good week. Lakers went 2-1. Clippers went 3-1. We'll start off with the Clippers in this one. They're coming before our last podcast. I think that was before the Mavs game, when they were facing a red hot Luka Doncic.
Red hot, so hot right now.
So hot.
Didn't you say that last time? That Luka's so hot right now.
Hansel,
so hot right now.
Clippers went 3-1 in the last week, defeating the Dallas Mavericks, the Memphis Grizzlies. 4-1. Grizzlies, Mavs, Wizards, and Portland Trailblazers. Their only loss, a post-Thanksgiving shellacking at the hands of the San Antonio Spurs. That was...
Oh, they're good. They're good.
The Spurs?
Yeah, sarcasm.
Spurs are scary good, man. They beat the Rockets the other night.
Yeah.
In double overtime.
They're going to totally make the playoffs.
You're going to doubt Pop?
This year, yes.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Clippers went 3-1. Pretty good week all around. They took care of home again. Got a couple games on the road. They beat the Grizzlies without Kawhi Leonard in that one. Paul George had a decent game. So did Lou Williams. For the most part, I think it's just going through the motions right now. I think they're 13-1 at home now. Franchise best record. You got a big road trip coming up, though. They got 6 games in 9 nights. That's going to be a pretty daunting trip for the Clippers. They got, it'll be Milwaukee, on.
Cause you said you played at home most of the season so far, right?
They're 14-1 at home. And I believe
so you played 15 games at home.
14, 13-1.
You said 14-1 at home?
13-1 at home.
Oh, okay.
13-1 at home. And the Clippers are 3-5 on the road. Lakers are 9-2 at home, 9-1 away. Pretty even. Not bad.
Right.
Yeah, the Clippers go on a 6-game road trip here. They'll be taking on former MVP, well, the current MVP, Giannis and the Bucks on Friday. They got 6-9. It's a tough road trip because after this Bucks game, they have 5 games in 7 days. They have a back-to-back at Washington, at Indiana, a day off before they go to Toronto on the 11th, where Kawhi receives his championship ring from the Raptors.
That'll be a fun night. Be so enthused.
I'm sure he will be.
So enthused.
What to do, baby?
hey.
Yeah, so they have Toronto on Wednesday, the 11th, the day off, and then they have a back-to-back at Minnesota, at Chicago on Friday and Saturday before they come home for a game against the Suns. But yeah, the six-game road trip is going to be a little tough. These are games they should win. I mean, obviously, they lost to the Bucks at home, their lone home loss, actually, to the Bucks. They didn't have either Kawhi Leonard or Paul George that game. They lost by five, I believe. They lost by five, yeah, 129-124. Washington, they showed they could handle them pretty easily. Indiana's an interesting team, as is Toronto and Minnesota. They've been those three have been pretty good so far early in the season. Kyle Lowry's back for the Raptors, obviously. And then Chicago, Patrick Beverley homecoming. That should be fun. Don't know what to expect from that, but a good road trip should be probably 4-2 or 5-1. Kawhi's going to be load managing a couple of those games, obviously, because they're back-to-back. So, yeah, we'll see how they do on that. So far early in the season, the Clippers are pretty – the Clippers and Lakers actually have identical offensive and defensive ratings. 111.2 defensive rating – offensive rating for the Clippers, 110.6 offensive rating for the Lakers. And then 103 defensive rating for the Lakers, 103.6 defensive rating for the Clippers. So they're pretty much playing identical, you know, defensively, offensively so far. The key difference, I will say, is that their stars are only playing about 28, 29 minutes a game, whereas AD and LeBron are, I believe, around 35 minutes a game. I wonder if that comes back to haunt the Lakers or gets the Clippers even more prepared or something.
This road trip could come back to haunt them. This one's going to be tough for the Lakers, too. They've got a gauntlet to go through. I mean, it was tough enough against Denver the other night. But, I mean, Utah tonight's probably going to be a little bit easier because they've been terrible. I mean, what are they, 1-4 on their current road trip? No.
Utah's homestead. Are they 1-4 on their homestead?
No, I think they just came off a road trip. They were 1-4. Yeah. That's what it was. They just came off a road trip in 1-4. So they're not as good as what people thought they were going to be. But the Lakers are battling flu-like symptoms that apparently took its toll in the last game. And I think today, what is it, AD and Kuzma have been hit really hard with it.
Yeah.
But they're still both can play, which I've been kind of impressed by. Because you would think with all this load management and everybody worried about the playoffs that they any excuse to just –
Shut them down
for a game, right? And it's Utah, who doesn't have Mike Conley. I can't remember what's up with Conley, but he's missing this game for, I think he's a hamstring?
Yeah, I think it's a hamstring tightness, yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how they handle it, though. So they're back at Staples on Sunday. Who do they play on Sunday? Timberwolves. It's the Timberwolves.
Minnesota.
Yeah, and then they have that huge stretch. I mean, they're playing, what, 9 out of 10 games on the road.
It looks like, yeah. They also have Milwaukee. They also have Indiana.
And then
Utah, Portland. That'll be tough. Just some injury updates. Landry Shamet is expected to go on this road trip with the Clippers, so he could be back. He told Doc Rivers he expects to be back sometime on this trip. Rodney Magruder, who has been out with a hamstring, pulled his hamstring. He says he'll play Friday. I doubt he will. I think he'll be back. I don't know. They've been sending some mixed messages. Like Doc Rivers has said he's not closed, but Rodney's been saying that he feels like he'll play soon. So we'll just have to see. I anticipate him traveling on this trip, but I don't know if he'll play on it. As for Avery Bradley, I believe he's missing the entire road trip.
Yeah, he's out for the three games, yeah.
Before they come back home Sunday.
I don't think they're rushing anything with Bradley because they're doing pretty well. With the backcourt they got right now. So
where do we Paul George has been playing phenomenal and is I mean other than that Spurs game, but shooting he's been amazing shooting wise. He's shooting up there, you know, I think what is he at? Shooting 42% from three on 9.5 attempts. He's averaging 4 made threes per game.
He shoots 9 times from beyond the arc.
9.5 per game. And he's averaging 4 made threes per game. Like, is he
impressive?
Is he one of the? I mean, is it time to talk about him as one of the best shooters in the league? It's always been Steph, Clay, and those guys, and Harden.
I think they're a tier above, right? And Paul George could be just below that, maybe. Pretty damn good though. That's a good percentage from outside, especially after having both your shoulders, surgically repaired during the summer.
Well, he said he feels like he has new shoulders. So,
well, it's looking that way, right?
He has 3 games with at least six 3-pointers. He's attempted at least double digit threes in 7 of the 11 games that he's played so far. So he's firing away and he's knocking him down. That, with the exception of that 5-point game against the Spurs, which I think was a post Thanksgiving sort of hangover. I think they enjoyed their food a little too much in San Antonio.
Too much tryptophan.
PG's been amazing. Don't know if it's enough for MVP consideration for him or Kawhi. They've been solid though.
I think what might hurt both of those two and LeBron and AD is the fact that they have each other.
They play with each other, yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say like, well, who's had more impact. Because like AD and LeBron's numbers are like close to identical in a few categories, with the exception being like LeBron assists, right? And then maybe AD or AD blocks, obviously. I think he has like 3 per game and is leading the league or close to it.
Right.
So it's still going to be Giannis. It's going to be Giannis. It's going to be Luka maybe, because Luka's just playing out of his mind.
Yeah, Luka's been insane. The Clippers actually did a tremendous job on him the other night when they played. They held Luka to 4 of 14 shooting from the field, 0 of 8 from 3, only 22 points. For a guy who was averaging like 28, I think it was 30, 10, and 10 actually. I think you'll take 22, 8, and 6 at home in Dallas. I think you'll take that.
Crazy that that's an off game for him, and that's like an amazing game for a lot of players in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, stat wise, yeah, he shot 14 of 16 from the line, but the Clippers did a good job taking him out of the game.
Which is like him against the Lakers the other night. I mean, he didn't have a great first half, and then he just turned it on in the second half, and they couldn't stop him.
Well, the Lakers were playing him a certain way. Like, I think they were doubling him near half court, him off the pick and roll. The thing with him is
he finds all the open shooters, right? Yeah. So he draws y'all in, and then he just kicks. And all those guys were hitting that night. And the Lakers couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything in the second half. In a way, he's a lot like LeBron that way, right? Like, draws all the defenders. But I think he can shoot better than LeBron. He's got a better shot than LeBron.
Did you see his line against the Pelicans the other night?
No. Was that
33 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists in 3 quarters.
Jeez.
He did it in 28 minutes. Yeah, that was nuts.
He's just insane. It always trips me out watching him. Is he seems like he's going at it his own speed. Mm. It's not very fast. It's deceptively quick, right? Like he uses a lot of footwork and dribbling to get his spacing. But he always gets his numbers. Well, almost always. I mean, he didn't against the Clippers, but it's every night you see like he's got a triple double. He's near a triple double. Didn't he blow up for 40 points or 41 points the other night?
Yeah, he had a really solid game. I forgot what it was, but Luka's just been insane. He's been the MVP.
He's definitely my favorite player to watch right now.
I would agree with you on that. Yeah,
yeah.
He's been phenomenal.
And I'm spoiled. I get to watch AD and LeBron every night, but I still think Luka's just fun to watch. Because he just does things that you don't think he can do, right? He reminds me a lot of Larry Bird. Like Larry Bird just did a lot of things that people didn't think he could do. He was underestimated all the time.
Right.
And he'd just kill you. It's the same thing, Luka Doncic.
I remember the Clippers were in talks. I don't know how far they went, but in talks to try and get the fifth pick or third pick from the Hawks.
Who would they have traded?
I have no idea. But they had 2 draft picks of their own in the lottery, 12 and 13.
Was this a...
This is the Shea and
Jerome pick. Okay.
Yeah, so they would have had to trade a bunch probably to come up to number 3. God, but if they could have gotten Luka...
I mean, I think that guy would play well anywhere. Like, he's one of those kind of guys.
Yeah, he's a
He just makes every team better. It's like he doesn't need a certain situation. He's just insane. Guy's only going to get better.
Speaking of... just guys who have been impressive right now in terms of role players on the Lakers and Clippers. Like, I'll put these two for you. has Dwight Howard been more impressive, or has Alex Caruso sort of, you know, the thing, Alex Caruso's numbers don't stand out.
They don't. But when impact, he's on the floor, you can impact you feel out. It. You can see it. I mean, he's a lot better defender than I think people give him credit for. He's an energy guy. He's a guy. I mean, every time he gets on the floor at Staples Center, the place goes nuts. Like, he's just one of those bench guys that everyone loves. He plays his heart out. He leaves everything out there. He hit two big threes against Dallas that started to spark the team, and I thought they were going to come back after that. I think AD had a huge block after that, and it just seemed like the momentum had shifted just because he got out on the floor and he was playing well. But he does it every night, and then he dunks. He just comes out of nowhere. When he had that putback dunk, was it against Denver?
One against Denver, yes. Yeah.
That was insane. He just came out of nowhere. No one saw him coming. He's just a great player. I'm glad that the Lakers signed him, because one team would have signed him. There would have been a team out there that signed him. That guy's, he's a hustler. But when it comes in comparison to Dwight, they do different things. Dwight's impact is probably more right now because he takes a lot of pressure off of AD. Takes a lot of pressure off of
JaVale. Still doesn't like playing the five.
Yeah. I think you could see why, though, this season, why AD doesn't like playing the five as much. He hits the floor so much, right? He gets banged around. I don't think he likes all that contact. And he can do so much more on the floor than rather just be that guy in the paint. But when he is in the paint, he is a monster defensively. I mean, he made Jokic look stupid a lot last night. I mean, he's just watching Jokic and just waiting to block him. He had one nasty block on Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic does not look good, so I believe that.
But maybe Jokic isn't the best thing to say. Like,
yeah, no, at least not right now.
He played great defense against Jokic. But he's on another level. But Dwight has really bounced back in L.A. He's done everything. He's done everything he's asked to do. He's a rebounder. He gets those lobs and those putback knocks all the time. He's been great. So I'd probably go Dwight there, but Caruso's not far behind. What about Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell? Would you say who would you say has had a big impact between those two players so far?
That's tough. They've both been really good. I'd say Montrezl Harrell has probably been more impactful. I mean, you know what Lou's going to give you, but Montrezl Harrell's just been better, just been getting better every single game. What is he averaging now? 19 points, 8 rebounds off the bench, and 2 assists.
Would you say that's because...
On 60% shooting.
Is that because Lou kind of brings just more of what PG and Kawhi already bring? Just offense? Just scoring?
Well, Lou certainly doesn't bring defense.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly what Lou's doing. He's a guy who attracts so much attention. Points. And a guy who can give you 25, 30 on any given night.
Yeah.
But inside, it's always good to have not necessarily a post guy, but a paint presence. A guy who can get you buckets inside the paint. And Trez has really been that for the Clippers so far. I mean, again, he's taking fourth most shot at 13 per game, but he's shooting 60% from the field. And they're not all dunks and layups. He's got some hook shots. He's got some floaters. He's got some mid-range shots here and there. So... he's really doing it all for the Clippers, and he's doing it in about 29 minutes per game. Lou, on the other hand, I mean, look, he's averaging 21 and 6 assists. He's actually averaging career high in assists this year. I don't know. It's just he could win his fourth Sixth Man of the Year award.
Yeah,
this
I remember
year.
You said that in the last pod that he's up there. That'd be interesting to see what the voting is.
It might be them two again. Yeah.
How many votes did he get last year, Trez?
Trez finished third.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was second?
I want to say Spencer Dinwiddie.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. He kind of balled out for Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. What Lou does is unique, but he does it at such a high level. Like, he's instant offense.
I remember when he did it for the Lakers. Like,
even if his shot's not going down, he's getting to the line. He's drawing fouls, he's getting to the line.
The one thing that tripped me out about him a lot was how calm he is always.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's the same all the time. Kind of like Kawhi's kind of calmness, right? Not as kind of emotionless, but he's got that just...
Sort of like a next play like mentality.
Well, it's just like it doesn't matter. It's like he's just, he knows how good he is. He knows what he can do and he knows what he does really well. And there's no like nothing that distracts him from that.
I think I'd agree with machine. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing with, and this is why I would give Trez the edge right now, is that like I love Lou Will, but he is a liability defensively. He's a liability defensively, and you can't rely on him to get teams attack him, and that's a problem.
And they should.
Yeah, no, I mean, take advantage of it. Yeah. But that's why I just give the edge to Trez, because Trez can, I mean, he's not the best defender on the team by any stretch, but he can hold his own. You know, there are issues where he's going up against bigger guys, he gets out rebound and stuff like that, but he can hold his own, and on the offensive side, he's I mean, you've seen what he does. He's a low turnover guy. He's just a machine. He's improved at facilitating too. He's really just hitting guys in the corners mm-hmm. now whenever guys are getting double teamed. So I think Montrezl Harrell has been more impactful. But it's a close one. It's almost like a 1A, 1B between Lou and Trez. But I'd say Trez is number one.
Not a bad position to be in.
Before we wrap up for the episode, just wanted to touch on a new segment we have called Quote of the Week, where we'll discuss, obviously, one of the quotes from both the Clippers and Lakers side. We'll just start with the Lakers real quick. AD, he sounds like he's getting some Defensive Player of the Year praise on the Lakers side.
Yeah, a lot of the guys are rooting for him and backing him. Like Frank Vogel says he thinks he's pretty sure that the AD's the Defensive Player of the Year right now.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, I think he's got a hell of a case so far.
No, I agree with him, yeah.
And then Rondo pretty much said the same thing. But Rondo thinks he's going to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, which is a little bold.
Who's the last player to do that? Was it Shaq?
I don't think Shaq ever won a Defensive Player of the Year. No. Jordan came close, I think. It might have been Jordan, actually.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
On the Clippers side, they just took on Carmelo Anthony and the Portland Trailblazers. And both PG and Kawhi had some interesting things to say. We'll start with Kawhi. He said, I'm happy for Carmelo. He wanted to get back and play. He was able to get the opportunity to go out there and pretty much be himself. Then he showed a bit of emotion and a surprising quote when he said, I don't think he was treated the right way, how they sort of left him out there, him being a Hall of Famer.
Kawhi said this.
Kawhi said that. They kind of left him out there to dry, which I thought was interesting.
It happens when you're kind of a limited skill set. I mean, he's just a scorer.
Well, I just think it's interesting how Kawhi felt that way when he's not the most outspoken guy.
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
There's been a lot of criticism.
Like, I could see PG saying that, but I can't really see Kawhi saying much of anything that's controversial.
So that was interesting. And then PG, on the other hand, was along the same lines, said, it's great to see him back. He just hates how the narrative around Melo is, you know, always looking at his plus minus when he plays poorly. And then when he plays well, it's about, you know, oh, this is what he's doing with Melo back. He said, Melo's been a great player. He's going to be a great player. He's playing terrific from start to finish. And shout out to Portland for opening that door for him. I don't know. I think Melo's been impressive in his start so far. I think he's averaging around 15
And I'm happy
game.
For him. I am. I am truly happy for him. I'm glad that, you know, he's able to turn things around and people stop talking shit about him, really. But this is what happens when players get older and they put up numbers like him and don't win, right? And become kind of a problem for teams where they want to just ship you off.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not help, you know, the OKC and Houston.
Well, Houston just made him out to be a scapegoat. Houston was uncalled for. I think they just made him out to be a scapegoat after 10 games they cut it. Like,
they did,
that was
but OKC gave up on him really fast too.
That was a year. They had a year there. And that was with Russ. And not a lot of guys. I mean, they wanted Melo to be a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter when that's not him.
True. But I think, well, it's like, okay, like Dwight, for instance. Dwight's arguably a Hall of Famer, right, for what he's done.
He is a Hall of Famer, yeah.
Right? He had to adjust. He had to come off the bench. He has to be played limited minutes. He gets occasional boards. He scores maybe 10 points a night if he's lucky, right? He had to adjust to play on a good team.
I think if you look at the range of adjustments Melo had to make compared to Dwight, Melo had to make a lot more.
How so?
Well, Melo had to change his game. He's not. He can't be isolated at the mid post the whole time. Now he's got to be move the ball.
Yeah, but
more.
He's a basketball player. I mean, you can't tell me at some point in his career, no matter where it was, that he played differently.
Right, but now there's when there's shots that you'd usually take, like, oh, here, let's get the ball to Melo, work. Now it's not hey Melo, work. It's Melo, try to get other guys involved, try to pass out. Don't always look to score. And for a guy who's been a scorer, that's different. Whereas Dwight, although I just think for Dwight, it's just a matter of
The ball doesn't go through Dwight. Dwight's used to the ball going through him, right in the post, posting up. Now he's just basically a reactionary player, right? He goes
put
in
back dunk stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. He just reacts to whatever's going on the floor. They're not going to run plays for him. You know, the best thing he can do is roll to the basket, right? Hope to get a rebound or a bucket. That's it. Or the occasional blocked shot, which he's been doing well as well. But that's what players have to do when they get older. If you don't win, if you don't prove that you can win as the guy, you have to adjust your game completely. Tracy McGrady went through the same shit too. And then he ended up sitting on the bench for the Spurs, watching his only chance to win a title just slip through his fingers, right? I mean, injuries didn't help him either. So yeah, he's kind of short end of the stick on that. But still, you just have to adjust your game. And if you don't, you retire.
Simple as that,
pretty much.
Before we go, you had a nice little talk with Jared Dudley, the ever media friendly Jared Dudley.
Such a nice dude. Like I said, hey Jared, can you talk for 2 minutes? Walking in the hallway, instantly, yeah, no problem, anything. And I asked him about social media because he's been in the league for 13 years, and how it's different from when he came in the league to now. And he had some interesting things to say about that kind of transition, saying how before there was less pressure because you're not always seeing negativity thrown in your face every day, all day. Every time you pick up your phone, you have a phone, right?
Less pressure on players day to day.
Yeah. And he says when it comes to social media, you have to be careful with what you read and what you write because there's always someone that thinks they're an expert because of that. He says, I think it's harder to stay mentally prepared and focused on the task at hand. And I think he's got a point because there's so many more opinions thrown in your face. There's us sitting here with a microphone, right? We got cell phones we're tweeting on. You know, there's social media that's just non-stop barrage, like in your face.
Honestly, that probably played a big part in Melo's absence. Melo's year-long absence, the perception, the opinions, the negativity on social media about him.
I would say a lot of people now, even professional people like in the NBA, are super impressionable, right? So they see narratives that go on online and they, is this true? Is this not true? Like, I mean, what do we do? And then sometimes it can sway fan bases to think one way or another. Dwight's another case there, right? Dwight was one of the most hated men in LA for ever since he left, right? You get booed, clearly affected him. Right, and now, yeah. And now within 2 weeks of playing in purple and gold again, he's like a fan favorite. It just turned that quickly. And that's, I'd say partly because social media in both ways, positive and negative, right?
Dudley also referenced LeBron's Zero Dark 23, right?
Yeah. He said when LeBron leaves social media for the whole playoffs to concentrate. And he said there's no coincidence that mental health or bad, you know, in a bad way is up these days because of this constant bombardment. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, players, before it was picking up a newspaper that would mess with your head. Right? Like somebody writing this way or that way about you.
But now you have it in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
The ability to
and
see
it's
it
not just
times.
A newspaper. It's every fan has a voice. Every fan can throw it your way. And it can affect you one way or the other. Most of the time it's negative.
That's a good point by Dudley right there.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to ask Vince Carter about the same thing, considering he's been an even longer time in the NBA.
The thing I would say with that is that Dudley uses social media, though, and uses it for a lot of positive. I don't think Vince uses social media at all. It probably played a factor in some things, but I don't think he uses it at all.
If he doesn't use it, then he's probably got an even stronger point about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's possible.
You know what I mean?
Super old school.
Like staying away from it completely because he just doesn't want that distraction. I think a lot of players think they have to have it now to be more connected. You know, maybe it helps, you know, build their individual brand.
It helps brands and images and stuff like that. It does.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. That was really interesting.
All right. So what you're saying is I got to get something like this by next week. So.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Pressure. Pressure's on you now. I'm going to get social media going and aim it directly at you.
I'm not
going to
read anything you say about me on that. I'm not going to let it fuel the hate. That wraps it up for our episode this week. As always, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Ryan at RyanWardLA on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Tomer Azarly on Twitter and Instagram. That's at TomerAzarly. As always, if you have any comments, questions, concerns about the podcast, shoot it over to us on Twitter and Instagram, wherever you guys want. Subscribe to the pod. Give us a listen. Show it to some of your friends if you like it. If you have anything you guys want us to talk about, definitely hit us up. Be open to looking into that as well.
Bombard us on social media. We'll change everything.
Ryan loves being bombarded.
Oh, don't. Oh yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah, so that's it for us. We'll see you guys next week. As we said earlier, Lakers come back home. Sunday, the Clippers will be on the road for about a week and a half, so they won't be back home for a while. But we'll see you guys next week. Hope you guys enjoyed. See ya. Peace.